Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. I'll take a moment to allow us to get to that book and chapter. To us, the child is born. I'll go ahead and read the odd verses, and if the congregation can respond back with the even, that would be appreciated. Let's read slowly, so we don't have to hurry through the reading. So just follow my tempo, if you may. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned.
You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder.
For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor.
Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Amen.
I'd like to ask you a question this morning. I always like to do that to begin. If you have a choice, you can choose what nation or what kingdom or what empire you can be a citizen of. What would you choose? I mean, what citizenship of whatever kingdom or empire or nation give you the greatest pride, give you the greatest sense of security that you counted a dream, a blessing to take possession of? What would you choose? Heaven? He's very far-sighted. What about today? Well, what about earlier? See, if you had lived about 2,000 years ago, you'd probably say, I'd much rather be a Roman citizen. Because Rome at that time, there's no other empire that rivaled the glory and power of Rome at that time. What about closer? What about 100 years ago? What citizenship would you pride yourself with? I think you probably pride yourself in being a citizen of the British Empire. There's a saying in those days, there's no setting sun in the British Empire. Because the British Empire was so great and so powerful and so majestic that it extends all around the globe. If the sun is setting in London, the sun is rising in Singapore. You remember George Banks? You know what? Remember what he said in Mary Poppins? It's grand to be an Englishman in 1910. Remember that line? Oh, he was proud to be an Englishman in 1910, see. What about 61 years ago? You probably think that being a citizen of the United States is the greatest thing on earth. Because 61 years ago, no other nation on earth rivaled the wealth, rivaled the power, rivaled the security Americans enjoy at that time. Okay, but today, things have changed a lot. Today, being an American is not that glorious, it's not that secure, it's not that really that wonderful. And I know a lot of people who would much rather say, I'd much rather be a Chinese citizen than an American citizen today. But have you noticed? Notice this, no nation on earth, no empire on earth, no kingdom on earth, no matter how glorious it has risen, can stay on this height for long. You ever notice that? They rise and they fall. No matter how powerful it once was, can stay unchallenged for long. They have all risen to great height, and then they all fall. All nations, all empires, all kingdoms, no matter how far and wide, they have been able to extend their borders. They all expand, and then they all fall to pieces. Every nation, every empire, and every kingdom on earth, no matter how benevolent, no matter how just, no matter how peaceful they have been in their reign, they all have chapters in the history that they are so unpresentable that they want to keep them out of the history books, every one of them. All nations create myths to cover up their ugliness. Even we Americans, we have a lot of ugly chapters that we much rather want to cut out. We Americans are no exception, see. We Americans boast ourselves of being the most prosperous, the most peaceful, the most secure, the most just nation on earth, and we want to export all those wonderful Americanism out. But dear people, so much of them are myths, so much of them are claims of the past. You know, our security that we thought we Americans enjoyed only lasted 4 years, 1945 to 1949. Those were our secure years. After 1949, we shake like trees being blown in the forest by wind. You know, our prosperity lasted no more than 2 decades, 1945 to 1965. And after 1965, we are not all that wealthy. We are not all that rich anymore. You know, in the past 100 years, the longest peace we Americans enjoy, ever counted? 23 years, between 1918 and 1941. In other words, every generation of us Americans has to face insecurity. Every generation of Americans has to face poverty and war. I don't know. I have children. My greatest fear for them is that they're going to be drafted. No nation, no empire, no kingdom on earth stay on top forever. They rise and they fall. They expand and then they shrink and break into pieces. We are fools if we seek security, if we seek prosperity, if we seek pride in belonging to an earthly kingdom. Because even if we should find it, we won't keep it for long. But wise is the man who seeks to belong to a kingdom whose peace never ends. Wise is a man who seeks a kingdom whose glory never fades. Why is a man who seek a kingdom whose justice and whose righteousness never fail, whose border never cease to extend? And that is why, see, in this season of Jesus' birth, which is only about a month away, you know, today is the 22nd already. In another month, 4 more weeks, we're going to be celebrating the birth of Christ. And that is why the season of Christ's birth is so joyous, because God sent his Son to us. With the birth of Christ, the Messiah, the kingdom of God is inaugurated on earth. Inauguration, you all know the word inauguration. Every 4th year in January, we have an inauguration. That means a new government, a new administration begins. With the birth of Christ, the kingdom of God inaugurates on earth. And it will only grow and will only expand, not with the peace that men make, but with the peace of God. We only grow and expand with the justice of God, with the righteousness of God. Where empire and kingdom of men fail in peace and justice and righteousness, God's kingdom shall never fail. Where man's empire and man's kingdom and man's empire falls, God's kingdom shall never end. That's the promise of Isaiah in chapter 9. To any one of us who is shaken with a fear and security like trees in the forest being blown back and forth like wind, this is the most wonderful, this is the most needed promise and assurance. Don't tell me you feel secure. There's only, you know, you ever lived through the 50s in the United States? People were building bomb shelters in the backyard. People were storing waters and food in the backyard because they were afraid. In the 60s, you know what people were afraid of? In the 60s, people were afraid of being drafted. People don't like to go to the jungles and fight. And today, what are we afraid of? You know what you're afraid of. You probably don't know, but we are afraid of you. Every Wednesday night, we pray for your security, for the security of the nation. To us, who are shaken with fear and insecurity like winds blowing the trees, chapter 9 is the most precious, the most wonderful, most encouraging promise and assurance. And to all people who are under the bondage of oppression, this is the most needed, most wonderful assurance. And this is exactly what God is saying to us all through the words of Isaiah. You remember just two chapters ago, last week in chapter 7, God assured us that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. In other words, God is saying to us, I haven't abandoned you. I am with you. I am dwelling. I'm living among you. Now, in chapter 9, God is saying, more than just my presence, this son that I'm sending to you and to us all will bring with him the kingdom of God with all his blessings. The blessing of the kingdom of God, that's peace that never fails, peace that never ends, justice and righteousness that never fail, expansion that never ceases, a kingdom of God whose glory only rises and never sets. Remember the British Empire? The sun never sets. How long did it last? Maybe 100 years or less. But this kingdom of God shall truly say, the sun shall rise and never sets. The response song we're going to be singing in a few minutes. Jesus shall reign. Where the sun, wherever the sun, it rises and never sets. God spoke these promises and assurance through Isaiah. He said it about 750 BC. Quite a few years, 750 years before Christ came. And God kept his promise with the first advent of Christ. Let's read verse 1 together, please, shall we? Let's read verse 1 again. Together, please. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom. For those who were in distress, in the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. Now, Isaiah mentioned two names, Zebulun and Naphtali. Those are two tribal areas in northern Israel, around the Sea of Galilee at that time. And during Isaiah's lifetime, those two are the areas most devastated by the Assyrians. Remember, I mentioned Assyria last week. And the people in Naphtali, the people in Zebulun, they suffer most terribly, more than anybody else, because they were smack in the path of the Assyrian juggernaut. Now, when Jesus came, those areas are known as Galilee, and those are the same areas where Jesus spent the most of his time ministering. Jesus and the disciples spent so much time in that area that they were called the Galileans. And the promise of God through Isaiah is beginning to be fulfilled by Jesus when he first came. Now we need to remember again that when we understand prophetic passages, God's fulfillment of his promises take different stages. There's a near fulfillment. That near fulfillment is a partial fulfillment, an incomplete fulfillment. But then there's a distant fulfillment. That distant fulfillment is the complete fullness of fulfillment. When Christ first came, God's promise of this kingdom is beginning to be fulfilled, partially fulfilled. The kingdom did come. It was inaugurated. It has begun. But the completeness of it is yet to come. The completeness of God's promise to be fulfilled in the distant future when Christ returns, when the King returns. When the Lord Jesus came to Galilee, what did he do? He preached repentance of sins, didn't he? He came out and he preached, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That means it's right here for you to take hold of. It has begun. The blessing of the kingdom is right here for you to take hold of already. And what else did he do? He healed the sick. He liberated those. He liberated those that were demon-possessed, didn't he? He fed the hungry, and he raised the dead from the grave. Jesus was fulfilling the promise in verses 2 to 4. Let's read again verses 2. Jesus came among people who were in darkness. They were in distress. They were under oppression. They were in fear. They were insecure. Look at verse 2. Shall we read that together, please? The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And Jesus did exactly that, didn't he? Jesus would say again and again, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And that's exactly what Jesus is. The Lord and the salvation he brings is a light unto us. It's a light unto us Gentiles. And let's read verse 3 again. Shall we please? You have enlarged the nation and increased the joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. You see, all who have entered the kingdom of God, a holy nation belonging to God, they are increasing in numbers. In the beginning, there were only 12 disciples. And then, within 3 years, it grew to be hundreds. By the time we go into Acts, many of them, by fear, left and fell away. When the church began, it began with about 120. And what happened in Acts 2, when Peter preached, thousands came to the church. And just about every day since then, hundreds and thousands come into the church. You see how the kingdom of God is expanding. And the joy of belonging to God's kingdom is ours to enjoy. We have tasted the joy of the kingdom, and it is good, isn't it? Look at verse 4 and 5. Let's read that again. Verse 4 and 5, shall we please? For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens us, the bar across the shoulders, the rod of the oppressor, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. Now these two verses of assurance illustrate how the first coming of Christ is only the near fulfillment, is only the partial fulfillment of God's promise. Isaiah is reminding the people how Gideon defeated the Midians. Now this Midian's defeat is a reference to Judges chapter 7, how Gideon defeated the Midians and broke the domination over Israel by the Midians. And then Isaiah is predicting also that God will destroy the Assyrian army and liberate the people from their yoke. And not only that, what else is Isaiah promising in verse 5? All weapons of war, all instruments of warfare will be abolished, will be destroyed, no longer needed, no longer used, no longer wanted. Now obviously these two verses are only partially fulfilled. They are not completely fulfilled, because this very day Israel is still oppressed and threatened by powerful and formidable enemies all around. And the most horrible weapons are still being proliferated. Scientists and engineers are still very busy today researching and developing weapons that can kill more and that can kill more efficiently. Obviously, these verses are yet to be fulfilled completely. But when the Messiah returns, when the Lord returns, he will bring with him to completeness the blessing of his kingdom, spoken of in verse 2 to 5. When the Lord returns, spiritual darkness will turn into spiritual awakening, just as in verse 2 says. When the Lord's return, all God's people will stream towards Zion. And that's why the book of Isaiah is so wonderful. It never ceases to bring tears to my eyes and choke me in my throat. Because again, can it promise, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and join with singing unto Zion. An everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Isaiah will repeat the same theme and message over and over again. The redeemed of the Lord shall return unto Zion and join with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their head. That's going to be in 51, chapter 51, verse 11. When the Lord returns, there shall no longer any trace whatsoever of any injustice, of any oppression, And that is a fulfillment in verse 4 that will be completely fulfilled when the Lord returns, bringing his kingdom, not only inaugurated but consummating, bringing it into completion. There shall be no violence no more. There shall be no more warfare anywhere. For all the weapons of war will be changed into tools of peaceful production. And all nature shall change. Isaiah chapter 11. The wolves will live with the lambs. Can you imagine wolves living with lambs? You know why in the West, in Colorado, in Wyoming, there's such war between naturalists, conservationists, and ranchers? Because the conservationists want to bring the wolves back, and the ranchers are ranching sheep. And they are fighting because the ranchers are saying the wolves are eating up all the sheep. But there will be no more of that. Because God said, when the Lord returns, the wolves will live with the lambs, and leopards will lie down with goats, and cows and lions will live in peace together, and cows will feed with bears. What do bears eat? Bears eat berries. But I've never seen bears eat grass. I don't care how many hours I watch National Geographic or Planet Earth, they never show bears eating grass. But I say, saying when the Lord returns, cows and bear will be eating the same thing, grass. And lions will eat straw like ox. I said, when's the last time lions eat straw? Biology teacher ever told you that the lions eat straws? I don't think so. No matter how many hours you watch National Geographic, you'll never see lions eating straws. And Isaiah in chapter 11 say, infants will play near the holes of cobra. Doesn't that send shudder and shiver down your spine? No? Little infants playing near holes of cobra. What does that mean? That is the most dangerous, the most ridiculous place you can allow your little child, still drinking formula, so defenseless. Are you going to place him near the cobra? That's what Isaiah is saying. In the Messianic kingdom, when the Lord returns, they're going to be playing there. And little infants and little young children will place their hands in the viper's nest. I probably mean that Indiana Jones will no longer have fear of snakes. Why? Because Isaiah is saying they will neither harm nor destroy on all God's holy mountains. Because the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. You're talking about change in nature. You talk about rebirth in nature. You talk about a reversal of the fall of man. You talk about going back to the first chapter of Genesis, when God says, all my creation is good. That is the beauty and glory of the kingdom of God, when Christ returns and brings it. You see, people, the glory and the beauty of God's kingdom will be completely and fully established on earth when Christ sits on his throne. You know what that means? That means there will be no more Alcoholic Anonymous. You know what that means? There will be no more Cocaine Anonymous. In the old days, there's only AA. Now there's CA now. Cocaine Anonymous. There will be no more. There will be no more need for anonymity. Because there will be no more need for hush-hush, because there will be no more shame, because there will be no more humiliation. Can you imagine a day like that? Don't you long for a day like that? When people are no longer under the oppression of addiction and power that they are enslaved under. And there will be no need for hiding, because all the shame and humiliation will be gone. Can you imagine revival meetings breaking out every night in every city? People streaming into the Lord in understanding and hungering and thirsting for his word. Can you imagine 3 or 4 o'clock in the mornings, people will be still preaching and people won't leave because they want more. And that's what what it means, right? For the whole earth will be covered with the knowledge of the Lord, like water covering the sea. Can you imagine all the criminal lawyers going out of business? Because there will be no need for criminal lawyers. Can you imagine all divorce lawyers will be all out of business because no one will want them, no one will need them. Because there are no more crime, because there are no more violence, because there are no more hatred, there's no more bitterness. That's what we will see on that day when the Lord returns. Can you imagine all guns in this country or in Africa? Can you imagine all those AK-47s gone? All those handguns in Chicago or anywhere in this nation? All destroyed, not by legislation, not because Congress passed a law to ban guns, but because people don't want them anymore, because people don't need them anymore, because people have no use of them anymore. Can you imagine all policemen being laid off? Can you imagine a day all policemen being laid off? Because there will be no need of them. Can you imagine all nuclear weapons, all biological weapons, all voluntarily given up and destroyed? Can you imagine a day like that? See, people, don't you long for a day like that? If you're a Christian, I hope you do. See, this is not daydreaming. This is not wishful thinking. There will be such a day. Because look at verse 7. Let's see how the Lord, how God speaks through Isaiah, gave us that assurance. Look at that. The seal of the Lord will accomplish it. The seal of the Lord will accomplish it. That means it is a plan of God that such a day and such a time should come. We are so sure because it is God's will that such a day and time should come to us. Why are we so sure? Because it is the passion of God that the fullness of the blessing of His kingdom should come to us. The blessing of all His glory and honor for us to see with our own eyes. The blessing of the knowledge of the Lord. The blessing of health and growth. The blessing of liberation. The blessing of peace. The blessing of justice and peace should be ours to possess. Now, how would God bring that blessing about? By Christ, our Lord, the Anointed One, the Messiah. If you could look at verse 6, let's read that together. Shall we read verse 6 together, please? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You see, these four names are not his middle names. These are expression of the Messiah's, the Lord's character, his nature, and his position and his office. Wonderful Counselor literally means the wonder of a counselor. In other words, there will be no need for anyone to counsel him because he himself is wisdom. Because he is wonder in himself. He's called Almighty God. Some commentators mention that literally it can be translated as great hero. The etymology of the word means a great hero. You ever notice that in every empire, in every kingdom, there are always great heroes? But even great heroes need myths and invented stories to gloss over their flaws and gloss over their failings. You remember the stories of Washington throwing a quarter across the Potomac? That's called a myth. You ever remember the story about Washington chopping down a cherry tree and say, I'm an honest man, I never tell a lie? That's a myth. Because every nation always needs a great hero. Every empire are the same. Because there are so much flaws and failings in their great heroes that they need to invent stories. But not Christ the Messiah. For his greatness and his virtue are not invented, not fabricated. He himself will have God's true might, God's true power accompanying him to authenticate that He is Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. And that's the purpose of all the work of wonder that He did. Not only that, He's going to call the Everlasting Father. Now, I was just talking with someone. We were studying the Bible, and he told me that there are some false teachers that take the phrase out of context and spread false teaching, saying that God the Son and God the Father are the same person. Because look at this phrase. Jesus is called the Everlasting Father. Therefore, Jesus and the Father is the same. Now, what's the danger of that? That's taking it out of context. And that's the worst thing you can do with God's Word. See, the context of this passage is about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is inaugurated with the birth of Christ and is to be consummated, completed with the return of Christ. Have you ever noticed whenever a kingdom or empire began, there's always a person that began it, that begins it, right? We understand that the person, as we call him, the father of a nation or the father of the kingdom. Now, we all know that Washington is considered the father of our nation, and there were a lot of founding fathers, right? Adams and Franklin and all those bunch. In Chinese, you know, we always say that Sun Yat-sen is the father of the Chinese Republic. Yet we know that their fatherhood was very temporal. They come and they are gone. And the nation and the kingdom they father would not last forever. And we also know that their fatherhood was also flawed. Because no matter how much they are revered, they are men of flaws, they are men of failures. But the fatherhood of the kingdom of God is eternal. For Christ is eternal. You may say everlasting father means Christ that begun the kingdom. And it's going to last for all eternity. And then there's the last title, the culmination of his character, the Prince of Peace. This tells us what kind of a king is Christ the Messiah. And that tells us why he refused to overthrow the Romans. He could have. By one command, he could have in his hand the command of legions of angels. But yet he refused again and again because he came as a Prince of Peace. He is one who established peace that never ends. He is one who brings reconciliation between God and man, and therefore he is able to bring peace between men and men. Dear people, think about it. How do we bring peace that are lasting? How do we build reconciliation that are lasting? Now we have something called the Nobel Peace Prize. Has any one of those ever brought any peace on earth? All those winners, has anyone has ever bought one day of peace on earth? How do you do that? How do you bring lasting peace? Men have been trying to do that ever since there were two human beings on earth. Stalin cracked a joke one time about Polish people. The Polish people are always disagreeing with one another. They're always fighting and arguing with one another. Stalin said, you know, even if there's only one Pole on earth, he'll be so bored, he'll start fighting with himself. Isn't that true? We never get tired of fighting with one another. And even if we're the only person on earth, we'll start fighting with ourselves. And Stalin was right in that point. How do you bring peace? How do you bring reconciliation between men? How do you bring peace and reconciliation between a black man and a white man? By law? It helps. But it never lasts. How do you bring peace and reconciliation between a Jew and a German? How do you bring peace and reconciliation between a Japanese and a Korean? How about between a Japanese and a Chinese? How do we do that? How do we bring peace and reconciliation between a Turk and a Greek? How about between a Jew and an Arab? How about between you and someone you hate and someone you despise? How do you bring peace and reconciliation between a husband and wife who is sitting in a divorce lawyer's office? How do you bring peace and reconciliation between a man, a sinner, and God? Nothing will bring peace unless the heart of man are changed. Everything else is just legislation, forces from outside that compels you, but the heart shall not change. And nothing will change the heart of man unless the presence of Christ is at work in his heart. And nothing can change the heart of man unless the life of Christ is at work in his heart. And the presence and the life of Christ working in a man's heart, that is the kingdom of God all about. The kingdom of God is here this very day because Christ the Lord has inaugurated it on earth. And it is in our heart, it is in our church, because we allow the Lordship of Christ to reign over us, to reign over our home, to reign over our church, because we accept that presence, because we accept that Lordship of Christ over wherever we are. And the present kingdom of God will extend more and more in this sin-sick world as more and more people come to submission to this Christ, to this King, and allow their hearts and allow their life to be the kingdom of God. And that is why we find in verse 7. Let's read that again, please. Verse 7, shall we? Together, please. Of the increase of his government and peace, there is no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The seal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish it. You know, people, Thanksgiving for this. What are we thankful for? Thank you for my mother. Thank you for my father. Thank you for my food. Thank you for this and thank you for that. Will you add one more? Will you really, really understand and say, God, I thank you for the birth of my Lord, my Savior. I thank you for the birth of my King. I thank you for your kingdom that has inaugurated, that has begun, that has come to us, and I thank you. And not only that, I look forward to his return. I look forward to that day when all the divorce lawyers and all the criminal lawyers and all the policemen are out of work. Oh, that will be a day. I look forward to the day when all the politicians are out of work too. I look forward to the day because Christ is going to sit on his throne and he's not going to need all the congressmen and he's not going to need all the senators making laws for him. For his justice and righteousness shall be over all. I look forward to the day. You know, looking forward, you know, this is the Advent season, a little couple of weeks early. I know. This is the Advent season. I want to bring it early. It started early. Look forward. Look forward to that day, dear people. Not when we sing all the Christmas song. It's fine. Look forward to that day. That's a wonderful season. But look forward to something more farther away. Look forward to that day when there will be no more nuclear weapons or biological weapons. When there will be no more fear of our enemies flying planes into our high-rises. Look forward to the day, dear people. God expects us and asks of us to look forward to his return. Let's all stand and sing a song together.
大家翻开以赛亚书第九章。
我哋嚟诵读神嘅话，好宝贝嘅一段圣经。
我们一起诵读神宝贵的话语。
第九章第一节系1014页。
以赛亚书第九章在我们圣经的1014页。
令我最兴奋嘅经文，所以呢，我哋读完又读，我哋同大家令大家启应嚟到广东话。
牧师将带领我们用广东话起应方式来阅读。
我开始第一节，请大家回应嗰啲上节。第一节话：但那受过困苦的必不再见幽暗。以前神使西布伦和拿法他利地被轻视，日后却要使他们在沿海之路、约旦河外的外族人的加利利得着荣耀。大家请第二节。你使自己国之民增多，又加添他们的欢乐，他们在你面前欢乐，好像收割时的欢乐一样，又像人在均分战利品时的快乐一般。
因为他们所负的轭和肩头上的杖以及披下他们的人都
因为战士在战争圈养中所穿的靴和滚在血中的袍都必销毁，成了烧火的燃料。
因为有一婴孩为我们而生，有一个儿子赐给我们，政权必担在他的肩头上，他的名必称为奇妙的策士、全能的神、永恒的父、和平的君。
他的政权和平安必无穷无尽地增加，他在大卫的宝座上治理他的国，以公平和公义使国建立稳固，从现在直到永远，万军之耶和华的热心必成全这事。我问大家一个问题。
牧师想问大家一个问题。
如果你可以选择，
如果你有选择的话，
可以做任何一个国家、任何一个王国、任何一个帝国的公民，你会选哪一个？
如果你可以随意的选择作为一个任何一个国家的公民的话，你会选择哪一个？
哪一个国家的公民权，哪一个王国的公民权是令你最骄傲的？
哪一个国家或者哪一个 帝国的公民权会让你觉得最骄傲？
给你最大的安逸，你梦想都要拿到的。
能够 给予你最大的安逸，你梦想中也很想得到的。
那如果你活在汉朝时代二千年前，
如果你活在二千年前的汉朝的时代，
我相信你会如果我有个罗马公民权呢，我就平安了。
你可能会想，如果你有罗马帝国的公民权的话，就很平安。
因为当时没任何一个帝国能够比得上罗马帝国的这个军力的强盛啊，同埋威荣。
因为当时没有任何一个国家能比得上罗马帝国的那个军权的那个威严。
如果100年前你会说哪一个帝国、哪一个国家的公民权是令你最骄傲、最安乐的？
那到如果是100年前，又有哪个国家能让你觉得最骄傲呢？
我想你会说英国帝国。
那你可能会说英帝国。
有句说话讲时候讲，他说英国帝国没有日落的。
因为那时候英帝国称自己为没有日落的国家。
那个时候可以这么说。
那个时候可以这样子说。
因为当时英国帝国那个版图啊，全球全世界都有。
因为那时候英帝国在全世界的版图上面都有它的属地。
在伦敦黄昏了，日落了，在新加坡呢就日升了，朝早。
伦敦是日落的时候，在新加坡那边才刚刚日出。
100年前没一个帝国，没任何一个帝国能够比得上英帝国这个强盛和军力。
在100年前没有任何一个国家能比得上英帝国当时的军力和强盛。
61年前呢？
那如果到了61年前呢？
哪一个国家的公民权令到你最向往的、最觉得骄傲的？
那当时有哪个国家的公民权会让你觉得最为骄傲呢？
我相信你会做一个美国人就好了。
当时可能大家都很愿意作为一个美国人。
因为61年前没有任何一个国家 比美国更富有更强盛的。
因为在61年前没有任何一个国家能比得上美国，
没任何国家能够向美国挑战，
当时没有任何一个国家可以向美国挑战。
61年之后，现在完全不同世界了。
那但是到了今天，61年以后，这个世界完全不一样了。
61年前，美国是全世界的债主，人人都欠我们钱。
61年前，美国是全世界的债主，差不多每个国家都欠美国的钱。
现在我们是负全世界的债，全世界是我们的债主。
那但是现在的美国是担负着全世界的债务，有很多欠了很多国家的钱。
我识好多人，佢会话牧师啊，我情愿做一个中国公民好耐，而家唔同啦。
现在有很牧师认识很多人都说愿意做回一个中国公民。
但大家有冇睇唔得到啊？
但是大家有没有体验得到？
人世间冇任何一个帝国，冇任何一个国家，冇任何一个民族啊！他会就算升到几威荣都好，能够在最高峰啊，能够长久站住。
大家可以看得到，其实在每一个时期，就算任何一个很强盛的国家，也不能够长时间的停留在那个鼎盛的时候。
无论几军你几强几强盛都好，能够永久的没人向他挑战的。
就算你的军力能够有多么的强盛，也不可能永远没有其他的国家可以向他挑战。
在世每一个王国、每一个国家、每一个帝国，升完之后就跌噶啦。
在世界上任何的一个国家，当他向上升到极点的时候，他将会又降下来。
版图扩展几阔几横都好，迟早好快都会缩嘅。缩了，缩完就分散了。
无论它的版图当时扩展的有多大，过一段时间以后，那个版图也会慢慢的分裂开来。
每一个国家、每一个民族、每一个帝国、每一个王国，就算啊，佢嘅政治几咁仁政好，几咁公平，几咁公义，几咁太平。
无论是哪一个国家或者民族，就算他的那个公民的权利是多么的平等。
他的历史里面都有好多阶段好丑的，
他同样在他的发展的历史当中一样会有很丑陋的一面。
他们想从历史书的书正史那些剪出来的，不让人留住的。
他们可能很希望能在历史书里面把那些丑陋的章节删除掉。
每一个国家每一个民族都会做一些所谓的神话 myth 做出来的故事，能够掩没他的丑陋的东西。
每一个民族或者国家都希望能够制造出一些所谓的神话，来把它丑陋的一面掩盖。
我们美国人，我们好骄傲，我相信我们当中没有一个比谭牧师更美国化咯。
作为美国人，可能大家都会觉得很骄傲。
我们美国人啊，我们好夸口的，我们好牙刷的。
美国人一向都很自大。
我们说我们是最富有，我们是最公正的。
一向都夸口说自己是最富有最公正的。
我们要勉强用我们的民主啊去出口给人家其他的国家的。
我们经常会把自己所谓的民主强加给其他国家，
但我们的叻嘢好多都是做出来的。
但实际上这些很多东西都是假象，都是制造出来的。
好多都是矛盾，有好多是过去的，
很多都是自相矛盾，很多都是已经过去了的。
为什么我父亲这么喜欢来美国？
为什么牧师的父亲当时这么喜欢来美国呢？
安定嘛，
因为当时觉得有很安定的生活。
大家有没有想想真正做美国人的安定多少年？
但是大家想一想，作为美国人能够真正得到安定有多少年？
四年，
只有四年。
1945到1949，
只有1945到1949年。
我们好有钱啊，是不是？
当时美国人都很富有，
好富有。但是我们真真正正的富有多少年？
但是真正的富有只持续了多少年呢？
20年，
只有十年，只有20年。
1945到1965，
只有1945到1965年。
1965年之后就一开始走下坡了。
从1965年开始，美国的经济就开始走下坡路。
有冇计过条数啊？最近100年啊，我哋有几多年系太平过？
大家算一下，近100年在美国的历史有多少是太平的日子呢？
最长都系23年。
最长也只有23年，
由1918到1941嗰23年，
只有1918到1943年。
换句说话嚟讲，我哋喺处咁人所谓人间嘅天堂做美国人啊，每一代都要乜嘢不安定。
换而言之，其实作为美国人，其实每一代的美国人都要面对不同的不安定的因素，
面对贫穷，面对战争，
可能他们要面对贫穷或者面对战争。
人世间任何一个国家都不能够在上面站得很久的，
所以人世间任何一个国家都不能在它的最顶峰站立的久。
如果我们以为在人世间的角度里面去找平安，去找骄傲，我们是愚笨的。
如果我们以为能够在人间的人世的国家中能找到平安稳定的话，那是我们的很愚笨的一个想法。
就算找到都不能够揸得住几耐的，
就算我们能找到，我们也不能够持久的拥有。
但是哪一个人是明智的，是聪明的？
但是有谁是很明智很聪明的呢？
他要去寻找一个国度，一个王国，一个王权。
他希望去寻找一个国家，一个王权。
那处的和平没有穷尽的，
那里的和平是无穷无尽的。
那处的威荣啊，不会褪色的，不会甩色的。
那里的威荣是不会褪色的。
那处的公义，那处的公平是没有失败的。
那里的公平公义是不会失败的。
那个王权，那个王国啊，那个版图啊，不会缩的，只会扩展的。
那个国家的版图是不会缩小，只会不断的扩大。
我们现在进入到去纪念基督降临的时代。
现在我们又进入到了纪念基督降生的一个时期。
其实真正的叫做 Advent season， 即是等候基督来临啊，那个季节啊，还有两个礼拜。
所以我们现在是处于等候基督降生的那个季节，还有两个礼拜。
我说今年提早点。
牧师说让我们今年提早一点。
我们使到我们的喜乐更长更多点。
我们让我们自己的喜乐能够更长久一点。
为什么这一段时间令到我们这么兴奋这么快乐啊？
为什么这段时间能让我们大家这么兴奋这么快乐呢？
因为神差他的儿子降世在我们中间。
因为神把他的独生子赐到地上。
基督救主的降临就是神的国度开始在人世间。
基督的降生在人世间就是神的国度在人世间开始的日子。
神的国度只会成长，只会扩展。
神的国度只会扩展，只会成长。
神的从神而来的和平只会扩展。
从神而来的和平只会扩展。
从神而来的公理、公正、公义只会扩展。
从神而来的公平、公义、公正只会扩展。
人世间的王国，就算几咁太平、几咁公平都好啊，都会失败。唯有神的国度唔失败，冇穷尽。
人世间的国家无论是多么的公平或者富足，它始终都会失败，只有神的国度不会。
人世间那些权啊，那些王权啊，只会终止。
人世间国家的王权只会终止。
唯有神的国度，基督的国度不会穷尽，不会终止。
只有神的国度，基督的国度，他的王权不会终止，不会停止。
一个人在恐惧当中，在不安稳当中，好像树被风吹动的时候，即是说怕到脚手停脚震的。
人在不安稳不平安的情况的时候，就像树被风吹动，人整个人都在发抖。
这些是他们最需要听的保证，最需要听的鼓励的说话。
这些都是他们最需要听到的鼓励的话和保证的话语。
神向他的子民藉着以赛亚讲的说话，就正是这些说话。
那神借着以赛亚向他子民所说的话，正是这些人需要听到的话。
记得上个礼拜我们读以赛亚书第七章嘛？
上礼拜我们读了以赛亚书第七章。
神借着以赛亚说，必有一个童女生子。
神借着以赛亚说，必有一个童女生子。
并要取名叫以马内。
那个孩子并要取名为以赛。
神向我们神不会放弃，不会撇弃我们。
神对借着以赛亚对我们说，神不会放弃，不会撇弃我们。
以马内就是神向我们保证，神与我们同在，神与我们同居同住，同我们一起。
以马内就是神对我们说，他必与我们同在，与我们同居。
唔单止一齐啊，现在第九章啦。
不单单是只是在一起，现在到第九章。
神就以赛亚话，这个降生的救主啊，会带埋嚟神的国度降在人间。
神也告诉我们，这个降在人世间的神子，必然会把神的国度带到我们当中。
基督开始的国度啊，里边个和平啊，永不终止嘅。
基督所开创立的这个国度，和平必永不争停止。
神的国度的公平、公义、公理啊，永远不会令我们失望啊。
神的公平、公义不永远不会让我们失望。
这个国度的扩展啊，永远不会停止啊。
这个国度的扩展永远不会停止。
这个国度里面的光荣、威荣啊，只会升的，不会退啊。
这个国度的威荣只会向上升，不会下降。
神借着以赛亚讲这个说话是主耶稣降生之前750年。
神借着以赛亚说这句话是耶稣降生前的750年。
基督耶稣降生。
当基督耶稣降临的时候，
开始应验到以赛亚的说话，
就应验了以赛亚这些预言。
我们一起来读第一节。
我们再同一同读第九章第一节。
大家看到第一节嘛？请大家一起。
请。
但那受过困苦的必不再见幽暗。以前神使西伯伦和拿法他利地被轻视，日后却要使他们在沿海之路、约旦河外和外族人的加利利得着荣耀。这处有两个地方名，西伯伦和尼法他利。
这里提到两个地方，一个是西伯伦，另外一个是拿弗他利。
这个是以色列北部啊，两个部落啊，两个部族的那些地方来的。
这个是当时以色列北部的两个部落的名称。
就是在加利利海周围的。
就是在加利利海的附近。
以赛亚那个时代。
在以赛亚的那个时代。
亚述军队攻进以色列的，糟蹋最厉害的就是这些地方。
亚述军队攻占以色列所糟蹋的最严重的地方就是这些地方。
西伯伦人和尼法他利人就是在亚述的军队之下最凄凉的、最受害最深的。
当时西伯伦和拿弗他利这两个地方的人民就是受到亚述军队最厉害的欺负。
他们在欺压之下，他们在要挟之下是最凄凉。
他们受到很大的威胁和欺负。
耶稣降生出现了。
当耶稣降临出现的时候，
那个地方叫做加利利地方。
当时这个地方就改称为加利利。
耶稣出来讲道、出来医病、赶鬼，最花最多时间就是这个加利利四周围。
当时耶稣在他的那个宣教的一个时间，花的最长的时间就是在加利利这个地区。
耶稣在那处做了这么多的事迹，所以所有的人都叫耶稣和他的门徒叫做加利利人。
当时的人都把耶稣称为和他的门徒都称为加利利人。
以赛亚在第九章所讲的说话，基督第一次降临开始应验。
以赛亚在第九章所说的这些话就在耶稣的降生开始应验了。
我们要记得，我们要明白，
我们要明白记得
圣经有很多预言。
圣经里面有很多预言。
圣经的预言的实现是有很多不同的阶段实现的。
圣经预言的实现是有很多不同的阶段的实现。
第一个阶段是近一点的部分性的应验。
有一些是一些比较近的预言，就是部分性的一些来应验。
完全的应验要望相当远了，望到将来一个远的地方。
如果要这些预言完全的应验，就要等到相当长的时间以后。
望到去将来一段时间。
可能要到了将来的很长一段时间。
基督耶稣第一次来临降生的时候，
当基督耶稣第一次降生的时候，
神答应他无穷尽的国度是开始应验。
神所应许的无穷尽的国度就是开始的应验。
神的国度真是来了，
神的国度就来到了人间。
但是完全的实现要在将来的实现。
但是要当这个预言完全的实现，要等到将来很长的时间。
基督再降临再回来的时候，神的国度是完全的实现。
只有当基督再来临到人世的时候，神的国度才会完全的实现。
基督降生第一次在加利利海那处，他做什么？
基督第一次降生到人间，他在加利利海那边做什么呢？
他第一次讲到没有完全的记载，但是个内容是什么？你们要悔改啊，悔改啊，因为什么？
耶稣第一次讲到叫人民要悔改。
天国近了，因为天国近了。
当时耶稣是说因为天国近了，
天国近，这个意思就是说天国在你的手里面 is at hand， 在你的手里面你们可以现在开始抓到天国给你们的祝福。
耶稣的意思就是说天国已经在我们手中，现在我们已经开始能够抓住天国给我们的应许。
而且耶稣怎样去证实他是这个带天国来的弥赛亚？
而且耶稣是如何证明他是带这个天国来的弥赛亚呢？
他医病，
他去医治疾病，
人在疾病中被捆绑的得到释放，
人在疾病当中被捆绑的得到释放，
被鬼附的可以得到释放，
被鬼附的能够得到释放，
肚饿的可以得到饱足，
肚子饿的能够得到饱足，
在坟墓里面死亡的可以走回出来可以重生，
在坟墓里已经死亡的能够 得到重生，
即是在幽暗的在捆绑之下的人现在见到解放，见到光亮，
就是那些在幽暗的捆绑当中的人，现在得到了光明，得到了释放，
应验到第二节的说话，
那就应验了第二节这里说，
我一起来再读第二节，
请大家一起念，
大家看到吗？我们一起，行在黑暗中的人民看见了大光，住在死阴之地的人有光照耀他们。耶稣所做的就正正是这样，
耶稣所做的正正就是应验了这第二节所说的。
耶稣一次又一次的说什么？
耶稣一次又一次的说什么呢？
我是世上的光，
我是世上的光，
凡跟随我走的，
凡跟随我走的，
就不再在黑暗里走，
就不再在黑暗当中，
而且得着生命的光，
而且得着生命的光。
主基督同他带来的救恩就是我们外邦人的光亮，
主基督以及他带来的救恩就是我们外邦人的光亮。
而且怎样看到耶稣应验到以赛亚的说话呢？
而且在我们再看耶稣还怎样应验了以赛亚的话呢？
一起到第三节，
我们再一起念第三节，
大家一起，你使这国之民增多，又加添他们的欢乐，他们在你面前欢乐，好像收割时的欢乐一样，又像人在均分战利品时的快乐一般。你看好，神的国度已经降临在人世间了，开始了，
人世间，神的国度已经降临到人世间了，
人进入到天国里面，
人进入到天国里面，
这个国家的人民的数目增长增长，
天国的人数不断的增长，
而且在天国里面所得到的喜乐的祝福，
而且在天国当中所得到喜乐的祝福，
我们已经开始品尝了，
人民已经开始品尝得到，
我们得救之后在神的国度里面之后有没有欢乐，有没有满足，有没有喜乐？
当我们得救进入到天国当中的时候，我们是不是都感到快乐呢？
已经开始享受到了，
我们已经开始享受到那种欢乐。
味道好不好啊？
味道很好吗？
好味好嘢，
味道是非常棒的。
正正是第二、第三、第四、第二世、第三节。
正正是在第二、第三节这里说的。
仲可以睇下第四、第五节啦。
我们再看一下第四、第五节。
一齐嚟读第四、第五节，大家一齐。因为他们所扶的轭和肩头上的杖，以及欺压他们的人的棍，你都截断了，像米甸的日子一样。因为战士在战争圈养中所穿的靴和滚在血中的袍，都必销毁，成了烧火的燃料。嗱，呢两节嘅神俾我哋嘅应许啊，就系所谓举例到乜嘢呢？
在这两节神所给我们的应许，就给我们举了一个什么样的例子呢？
举例到神王国，
这里就是说神答应他的国度降临，
基督第一次降生只不过是部分性的最近性的实现，
基督的第一次降临只是实现了最近最部分的一个预言的实现，
提醒那些以色列人
以赛亚提醒犹太人，
正如在士师记第七章，
正如在士师记的第七章，
基甸怎样打胜战胜米甸人？
基甸是怎么样战胜米甸人？
怎样将以色列人在米甸的欺压当中解放出来？
如何把以色列人在米甸人的欺压当中解救出来？
而且以赛亚再在树预言到神怎样粉碎亚述的军力？
这里以赛亚再次预言到神如何粉碎亚述军队的一个军力，
而且以赛亚说所有战争的武器
而且以赛亚说，所有战争的一些武器
都会被烧毁，都会被废除唔用，
都会被烧毁。
嗱，当然呢两节咧好明显嘅系部分性嘅实现。
所以这两节就是一个预言的部分性的一个实现。
因为以色列今日仍然在好强嘅敌人当中要挟住。
因为以色列在现今依然被很强大的敌人所要挟。
我哋知道今日仍然有好多好恐怖嘅武器啊，越嚟越扩散。
我们也知道当今的世界有很多很强力的、很恐怖的一些武器还在扩展。
而家有好多科学家，有好多工程师。
现在有很多的科学家和工程师。
好忙去做啲更加有杀伤力嘅武器。
他们依然不断地在研制一些很有杀伤力的武器。
好明显嘅第五节啊，第四五节啊，系部分性嘅应验。
所以我们看到第四、第五节只是一个部分性的预言的实现。
但系基督呢个救主再一次翻嚟嘅时候，再降临嘅时候。
但是当主耶稣基督再一次降临的时候，
佢嘅尼赛亚嘅王国俾佢再带翻嚟，现现实实嘅在人世间实现嘅时候。
弥赛亚的国家被耶稣现实的带到人世间的时候，就会完全的实现。
神嘅应许会完完全全嘅应验。
那神的预言也会完完全全的实现。
基督再降临嘅时候，
当基督再降临的时候，
属灵嘅幽暗啊、昏暗啊，会变成属灵嘅苏醒，正如第二节咁话。
属灵的幽暗就会成为属灵的苏醒，就像第二节所说的。
救主再降临嘅时候，
当救主再降临的时候，
所有归属于神嘅子民都会真系涌入到去锡安嘅树，涌入去耶路撒冷。
所有归属于神的子民都会涌入到锡安那里。
正如凡系被主所救赎嘅人民都会归回锡安。
就像所有被主救赎的人民都会回到锡安。
一齐歌颂神。
一同的歌颂神。
永远嘅喜乐系佢哋嘅冠冕。
永远的喜乐是他们的冠冕。
主基督再降临嘅时候，那个利赛亚嘅王国再降临，真系完全降临嘅时候。
当主耶稣基督再降临，弥赛亚的国家完全的实现在人世间的时候，
神嘅国度里边冇完全冇一丝一毫嘅不公正不公义。
神的国度就不会再有一丝一毫的不公平不公正。
神嘅利赛亚嘅国度降临，完全降临嘅时候，
神弥赛亚的国度完全降临的时候，
冇再有任何嘅暴行。
就不会再有任何的暴行，
冇再有任何嘅战争，
不会再有任何的战争，
全地每一个地方都系冇，
全地都不会再有这样子的事情，
所有战争嘅武器，
所有战争的武器
会变成生产嘅工具，
都会变成生产的工具，
唔单止啊，所有大自然都会改变啊，
不单止这样子，整个大自然都会发生改变。
以赛亚书第十一章好美妙嘅、好美丽嘅一个保证。
以赛亚书第十一章就有一个很美妙的一个布证。
以赛亚话乜嘢？豺狼与绵羊羔啊同住。
以赛亚在那里说，豺狼与那个绵羊羔会同住。
豺狼同埋绵羊羔可唔可以走埋一个同一个羊栏嘅？
在我们现在想来，狼跟羊能够走到同一个羊圈里吗？
如果你而家今日有机会走去 Yellowstone 黄石公园。
如果今天我们有机会到黄石公园，
现在 Wyoming 和 Colorado 那些人经常在那里吵架，
在那个地方 Wyoming 跟 Colorado 的地方的人经常在吵架，
因为 Wyoming Colorado 有很多牧羊的人的，
因为在那两个地方有很多牧羊人，
他们跟美国政府吵架啊，
他们跟政府在吵，
因为美国政府让那些豺狼再一次走回去黄石公园，
因为政府所养的一些狼又跑回到黄石公园。
那些豺狼很多时候肚饿，走出公园就吃了人家的羊。
那些狼有时候饿起来就会跑去把那些羊群吃掉。
如果你是为欧美牧羊的，你说好不好啊？美国政府对不对啊？
如果你是那里的牧羊人，你说政府做的对不对呢？
哪个人这么笨的将豺狼和羊走在一起的？
没有人这么笨会把狼跟羊同一起养。
但是基督再降临的时候什么时代？
但是当基督再降临的时候，
大自然完全改变，豺狼和羊羔一起，
大自然也会发生改变，甚至狼跟羊都能够同居，
豹和山羊同住啊，
豹跟山羊也能同居，
同饿走埋一起，瞓埋一起啊，第十一章讲嘅，
在十一章也这么讲到，豹跟羊也能够同卧，
牛仔啊牛犊啊同埋幼狮同群。
牛犊跟幼狮能够同群，
牛同埋母熊同吃，牛牛同埋母熊啊，啲
母熊 ，OK 啊，牛跟母熊也能够同吃，
狮子同埋牛一样食草啊，你有冇见过狮子食草嘅？
狮子跟牛一样可以吃草，
你有冇见过喺 National Geographic 睇嗰啲电视片呢？
大家有没有看过国家地理杂志那些纪录片？
狮子食乜嘢？
狮子是吃什么的呢？
从来有没有见过狮子吃草的？
有没有人见过狮子吃草呢？
还有好一句话令到人哋好感动的，
还有一句话让大家觉得很感动的，
吃奶的小蚊仔，
吃奶的小孩
会在毒蛇洞前面玩，
吃奶的小孩会在 毒蛇的洞穴前面、玩耍。
你现在有没有打冷震？
你现在听你会不会觉得很可怕？
你会不会将你咁宝贝的细蚊仔摆喺咁危险的地方？
你会不会把你最宝贝的儿子放在这么危险的一个境地呢？
还有以赛亚话细蚊仔会将个手啊摆入个蛇窿嗰处。
以赛亚甚至说，玩耍的小孩会把手放到蛇的洞穴当中。
你惊唔惊？
你会不会觉得很害怕？
但以赛亚话基督再来临。
以赛亚说基督再降临的时候，
神的国度完全的临到人间，
神的国度完全的临到人间。
为什么会这样大自然的完全改变？
大自然也会因此而改变，
因为在整个神的圣山上面，
因为在神的圣山上面，
这一切都不行伤害和毁灭的事，
这一切都不行伤害和毁灭的事，
再冇暴行，再冇而家咁样嘅喺处俾自己欺压，俾自己吞食。
再也没有现在的暴行。
因为认识耶和华的知识。
因为认识耶和华的知识。
要充满大地。
要充满大地。
好像海水覆盖海洋一样。
好像海水覆盖海洋一样。
呢个系基督再降临，神嘅国度完全降临嘅一个祝福。
这是基督再降临，神的国度完全降临的一个祝福。
你话威唔威荣？你话美唔美丽？
你说当时的情景是不是非常的威荣美妙呢？
当时当日，
在当那个时候，
嗰个时代唔会再有。大家知唔知咩叫做 Alcoholic Anonymous AA？ 大家知唔知咩叫 AA？ 中国人唔饮酒，所以唔知道。美国嗰啲醉酒嗰啲人咧，会参加 AA 嗰啲会。
在美国有一些酗酒的人，他会参加那个一个戒酒的一个协会，
互助会啦，
一个互助会，
冇人用名嘅，冇名嘅。
那些参加人他们都没有用自己的真实名字，
丑啊嘛，
因为觉得很很没有面子。
彼此鼓励，唔好再饮，唔好再饮，唔好再饮。
他们在那个互助会里面会彼此的鼓励。
大家知唔知道而家唔单止有 AA， 而家有 CA。
不单止现在有这种戒酒的一个互助会，现在还有一个叫 CA 的一个会。
CA 就是 Cocaine Anonymous， 即是食 cocaine， 我谂中文系乜嘢？
海洛因。
白粉啊，白粉啊，即系中文系白粉。白粉无名者。
现在也会有一些戒毒的一些互助会。
唔再有 AA， 唔再有 CA， 点解？
到了那个时候，也不会再有 AA， 也不会再有 CA。
唔再需要隐名。
因为也不需要再把自己的名字掩盖，
所有的丑陋，所有的羞耻，所有的羞辱会过去，
因为所有的羞耻，所有的羞辱都已经过去了，
不需要再有 AA， 不需要 CA， 因为捆绑人的力量会被破碎，因为基督的国度来了，
不会再有 CA 和 AA， 因为那些捆绑人的那些罪恶都被解开，
而且认识耶和华的知识会充满大地，
而且认识耶和华的知识会充满大地，
人人都渴慕听到神的话，
每个人都渴慕听到神的话。
三四点钟朝早三更半夜讲到都讲不完，
那时候不断的在听讲道，
因为个个人都涌入来要听到，因为不够啊，
因为不断的有人涌进教会当中要听讲道。
大家有没有想会得到当日的时候会怎样的？
大家有没有想象得到当时的情景会怎么样？
所有的刑事律师 criminal lawyers，
那些所有的现在的这些刑事的律师
要执笠的，为什么没生意的？
他们可能都要倒闭，他因为他们没有生意了。
所有的离婚律师要执笠，因为没生意。
所有的那些办离婚的律师也会倒闭，
因为再没暴行，再没犯罪，
因为再也不会有暴行和犯罪，
再没有仇恨，再没有毒恨，
也再没有仇恨和毒恨。
那些律师个个都要转行啊，
那些律师可能都要转行
做司班长啊，因为个个都要去歌颂神，
他们可能要转行去做司班的一个指挥。
人世间所有嗰啲枪啊，
人世间所有的枪，
枪啊，所有都会被销毁，
都会被烧毁。
唔系因为政府落令要销毁，
不是因为政府立令要禁止，
因为个个人有枪，佢自愿拎出嚟，唔要啦，唔使用啦。
那个时候是因为每个人他自愿的把这些武器都交出来，因为不需要再用。
那个时候最笨的是入边行呢？
到了那个时候最笨是去做哪一行的工作呢？
那个时候最笨的做差佬啊。
那个时候做警察的就是最愚蠢的了。
做警察了，做警察，因为不再需要警察。
因为那个时候社会上已经再也不需要警察了。
那个时候所有那些核子武器，所有那些最恐怖的武器。
到了那个时候，所有的那些核武器
都会被销毁，
都会被销毁。
大家想唔想象得到嗰一日咧？
大家能不能想象到那一天的情形？
你而家最渴慕嘅系乜嘢？
你现在最渴慕的是什么呢？
最渴慕嘅唔好退休。
你现在渴慕的就是不要退休。
因为就算退休都好，仍然系身处在今时今日呢个人世界。
就算你现在退休了，你还是身处在现在这么丑恶的人世间，
仍然是被四周围的罪恶、黑暗、恐惧围绕住。
你依然是被人世间的黑暗和丑陋所围绕。
你需唔你话你需唔需要更最渴慕嘅系基督再来临嗰一日咧？
所以我们现在最渴慕的是不是应该是基督再来临的那一天呢？
这个不是梦想啊，不是我现在不是说那些虚幻的说话。
这个并不是梦想，牧师并不是在说一些虚幻的话。
一定会有这样一日。
这是一定会实现有这样子的一天的。
为什么我们这么肯定？
为什么我们这么肯定呢？
第七节。
我们再看第七节。
你看第七节，为什么你这么肯定啊？因为万军之耶和华的热心必成全这事。
第七节说，因为万军之耶和华的热心必成全这事。
为什么你这么肯定那一日会来？
我们为什么这么肯定那一天会来临？
为什么他们会这么肯定那个时代的和平、公义、公正一定会在人世间？
我们为什么那么肯定那时候和平、公义一定会在人世当中呢？
为什么你这么肯定尼赛亚的再临将他神的角度完全的带到去人世间，为什么你这么肯定？
我们为什么这么肯定弥赛亚的国度将会完全的降临？
因为这个是神的热心所命定的。
因为这是神的热心所命定的事情。
神的计划是这样定的。
这是神的计划。
神的心愿是这样定的。
这也是神的心愿。
这个是神的热心所要发出来的。
这是神的热心所要发出来的。
他要将神的国度完全的祝福给我们拥有到、享受到。
耶和华要把神的国度给我们人类完全的这样子的一个祝福。
他的荣耀、他的威严，他要我们见到、我们享受到。
他要我们看见神的荣耀和威严，
他要我们认识他这个祝福，要我们享受到。
他要我们认识到他这个祝福，
要我们能够真正得到完全的解放，是他要我们享受到的。
让我们明白，他让我们得到完全的解放。
那神怎会将这样的祝福带来？
为什么神会把这样子的祝福给我们呢？
靠着主耶稣基督这个救主，
就是靠着主耶稣基督这个救主，
神所按立的、神所高立的弥赛亚尼赛亚，尼赛亚即系话神高立的。
主耶稣是神亲自所高立的弥赛亚，
神命定的，
神所命定的。
你睇下佢第六节，一齐嚟读第六节啦。
我们再来读第六节，
一齐大家一齐。因为有一个婴孩为我们而生，有一个儿子赐给我们，政权必担在他的肩头上。他的名必称为奇妙的策士、全能的神、永恒的父、和平的君，四个名。
这里有四个名称，
是代表到他的属性，
是代表了主耶稣的属性，
他的本性，
他的本性，
同埋他的位置
和他的位分。
首先亦就是奇妙的策士，
首先是一座奇妙的测试，
其实亦都可以就是一个谋士，令人惊愕的智慧。
同样也是谋士拥有一个让人惊愕的智慧。
意思就是说不用人教他的，
就是说他拥有很大的智慧，不需要别人教导，
不用人给他参谋的，
他也不需要别人给他意见参谋，
因为他自己就是智慧，
因为他本身就是智慧，
因为他自己就是令人惊愕，
他本身就能令人惊愕。
而且第二个名字叫全能的神，
第二个名称就是全能的神。
全能的神原文你都可以译作一个大英雄，
全能的神在原文当中我们也可以翻译为大英雄。
大家有没有领悟到，人世间任何一个王国任何一个王朝都有大英雄的，
同样在人世间其实也每一个朝代也都有他的大英雄。
我们中国人最喜欢讲英雄嘛，
中国人可能最喜欢就是英雄。
上个礼拜同个仔睇电视睇到赤壁，喺电视台啊讲赤壁三国时候嗰啲故仔。
上礼拜牧师跟儿子一起在家里的电视里面看到赤壁这个故事。
中国人三国里面几多英雄文物啊？
在《三国演义》当中有非常多的英雄。
但是大家有没有领会得到？
但是大家能够领会得到吗？
任何一个王国任何一个帝国那些英雄几咁轰天动地都好，
在每一个朝代每一个国家就算他的英雄有多么的所做的事迹有多么的，
都有失败都有丑陋的事的，
他同样也会有失败也会有丑陋的时候。
但是这个基督神所高立的弥赛亚耶稣，
但是基督是神所高立的这个弥赛亚，
他的权能不是人造出来的，
他的权能并不是人所造出来的，
他的权能是神的能力赐给他的，
他的权能是神所赐给的，
证实到他是神所高立的，
证实了神他是神亲自高立的，
所以他在人世间在加利利四周围传道的时候行的神迹，
所以他在人世间在加利利海附近所行的那些神迹，
就是彰显到他是全能的神，
就彰显了他就是全能的神。
还有第三，你看他是永恒的父，
第三个名称称他为永恒的父。
我很欣赏你的教会，因为有很多人很在属灵 的认识里面很想得着，
牧师非常欣赏我们教会的弟兄姐妹都在属灵上面很有追求。
一个我很欣赏的一个弟兄上个礼拜就跟我谈，
上个礼拜有一位弟兄跟牧师聊天，
他说这班人他们说耶稣从圣父是一样啊，
他跟牧师说这些人都称耶稣跟圣父是一样的，
因为你看看这一节的了，他说是永恒的父永在的父，
因为在这一章节里面说到耶稣是永恒的父，
这些是错误的假的教师犯最常见到的毛病，
这样子教导其实是假教师里面最常发生的事情，
他们断章取义，
他们
两个字四几个字拿出来，
他们很喜欢断章取义，把几个字从一段文章里面拿出来解释，
就是说你看看耶稣叫做永在的父永恒的父，所以他跟天父是同等了一样了，
他在这里说到因为这里称耶稣为永恒的父，所以他跟天父是同等的，
错误是什么？
错误是什么呢？
这段圣经的上下文的 context 是什么？
我们看一下这一段圣经的上下文说到什么，
整个上下文是神的国度，
整个上下文所提到的都是神的国度，
是藉着基督的降生基督第一次的来临开始的，
讲到的是这个国度是借着主耶稣基督第一次的降生降临所开始的，
完全的成全是他再来临的时候完全的成全的，
这个国度的完全成全必须要等到主耶稣基督的再一次降临，
所以你可以说神的国度是哪个所谓人呢哪个开始的，
所以我们可以说国家是从一个从人开始，
这个天国就是基督第一次降临的时候开始了，
这个天国是从基督的第一次降临开始的，
大家都知道每一个王国每一个国家都有所谓国父
我们都知道每个国家可能都有他的国父，
我们知道美国人美国国父叫做什么名字，好 citizenship 哪个人想入籍
美国国父是谁请问大家有谁知道
大家都知道是华盛顿，
大家都知道是华盛顿，
还有其他 Adams 可以其他那些都叫做 founding fathers 就开国的父老了，
还有其他一些开国的元老
大家都知道哪个是中国国父啦，
同样大家可能也很清楚谁是中国国父，
但是大家要明白所有人世间的王国那些国父 都是暂时的，梗会过去的。
但是我们都知道，在人世间国度的那些所谓的国父都会过去，
而且他们所开始的那些国度都会到某一个程度里面终止的。
而且他们所开始的那些国度到某一个阶段也同样会终止，
但是而且他们的国父都是有瑕疵的，
而且这些国父他们所做的事情都有瑕疵。
无论我们怎样敬重他们都好，
无论我们有多么敬重他，
他们都有很多失败的，
他们同样有很多的失败。
但是神的国度所谓哪一个父开始的，
但是神的国度所谓的哪一个父开始，
基督第一次降临，
就是从基督的第一次降临，
而且他所建立的开始的王国天国的永无穷尽，
而且他所开创的这个国度这个天国是 永无穷尽的。
所以以赛亚说他是永恒的父，
所以以赛亚在这里说他是永恒的父，
是形容到天国的开始是在他降临第一次降临的时候开始。
所以行这里形容到天国的开始是从耶稣的第一次降临开始，
而且说他是和平之君，
而且他也说耶稣是和平的君，
形容到他是一个什么君王，
形容到耶稣是一个如何的君王呢？
他是来建立和平永无穷尽的和平，
他是来建立永无穷尽的和平的君王，
他是来建立神与人之间以前是有仇敌有仇视的，现在是和好的。
以前神与人之间是仇视仇敌的，现在耶稣建立了和平，
神与人和好了，人与人才能够开始有和好。
当神与人之间有和好了以后，人与人之间才能开始有和平。
大家有没有想过，
大家有没有想过
怎样在人世间建立永恒的和平，
如何能在人世间建立永恒的和平呢？
我们有很多诺贝尔奖，
我们现在有很多的诺贝尔奖，
有了好有威望的人拿到诺贝尔和平奖
有很多很有威望的人拿到了诺贝尔和平奖，
你说这么多拿到和平奖的人带来人世间多少和平，
大家想一想，其实那些所谓的和平奖的得主给人世间带来了多少的和平呢？
真是呃人的嘛，
其实都是骗人的
怎样能够将和平带到人世间，
如何能够把真正的和平带到人世间呢？
点人世间彼此争吵啊，人世间有两个人就即刻已经喺处闹交。
人世间有不断的争吵，只要有两个人在一起，就会有争吵。
斯大林讲过一句说话，笑话嚟噶，好几幽默。
斯大林说过一句笑话，
佢形容嗰啲波兰人，
他形容那些波兰人。
波兰人咧冇团结，成个闹交嘅。
波兰人其实不是很团结，他们经常吵架。
斯大林说就算有一个波兰人在地上，
斯大林说只要有一个波兰人在地上，
他都很闷很闷，
他都会觉得非常的闷，
他要找自己来跟自己吵架，
他都要找自己来跟自己吵架。
那你说这个说话对不对？很对，
大家说这句话对不对？
是不是你这个房里面有两个人，你就找机会跟他吵了，
只要你的房间里面两个人在一起，你就会找机会跟他吵。
那个人走了，得你一个人住，那你找自己来了。
那个人离开了以后，你可能一个人觉得闷，也会开始找自己来吵架。
你怎样将平安和平带到人间？
如何能够将永恒的和平带到人世间呢？
怎样能够将仇恨，以前的仇恨变成今日而家的和好？
如何能把仇恨，以前的仇恨变成今天的和平呢？
你怎样能够将和平带给一个黑人和一个白人？
如何能够把和平带给一个黑人和白人呢？
你怎样将个和平将带给一个犹太人和一个德国人？
如何能够把和平带给一个犹太人和德国人？
有没有想过？
大家有没有想过
怎样将和平和从仇恨当中变成和好带给一个日本人和一个韩国人？
如何能够把仇恨和和平带如何能把和平带给一个日本人和韩国人？
谁能够带到？
谁能够带到呢？
好不好将和平将仇恨变成和好带给一个日本人和一个中国人？
如何能够把仇恨变为和平带给一个中国人和日本人？
那些痕迹现在正在处
那些伤害的痕迹依然还在。
我三月几多月之前八个月之前我去北京，
在八个月之前牧师回北京。
那你跟团呢，团就不会带你去这个地方。
如果你是跟旅行团的话，旅行团一定不会带你到这个地方。
我教你怎么去的。
牧师叫你怎么去？
你租个的士。
你只要叫一辆出租车。
80蚊美金成日，你去边处都去到，佢车你去。
80块美金，你就能够整天的，他就带着你到处去。
我特登叫嗰个的士司机刘师傅。
他特意叫那个出租车司机。
带我去卢沟桥。
带他到卢沟桥。
边个去过？
有谁去过呢？
啊，跟团去啊！呀，跟团去，呢个团啊叻啦，平好多啦。卢沟桥旁边有个城嘅，城墙好厚嘅。
卢沟桥旁边有一个很厚的城墙。
记唔记得嗰啲炮弹？
大家还记得那些炮弹的伤痕吗？
记唔记得嗰啲窿啊？
大家记得那些城墙上面那些洞吗？
正喺处。
那些洞还在那里。
你点样将和平、将仇恨变成和好，带俾一个日本人同埋一个中国人？
如何把仇恨变成和平，带给一个日本人和中国人？
你点样将和平、和好带俾一个犹太人同埋一个阿拉伯人？
如何把一个和平和好带给一个犹太人和阿拉伯人？
在律师楼里面，那些离婚律师楼里面，你怎么将和平和好带给一个丈夫一个妻子现在在处分？
在那些离婚的那些律师事务所里面，你如何把和平和好带给一对正要搞离婚手续的夫妇呢？
怎么带和平和和好给一个罪人和一个神？今晚我们的神
如何把和平和好带给一个罪人和我们的神呢？
除非人的心改变。
除非人的心能够改变。
人的心不改变，没有和平的。
人的心不改变的话，永远都不会有和平。
人的心怎样会改变？
人的心如何能够得到改变呢？
除非耶稣基督的生命、耶稣基督的能力在个心里面掌权。
除非主耶稣基督的能力，他的生命能够在我们的心中掌权。
除非耶稣基督的生命能力在人的心里面工作改变，人的心不变的。
除非耶稣基督的能力和他的生命能够在人的心中去工作，否则
人
的心不会改变。
任何一个人的人心，基督的生命、基督的同在在那处掌权，那个地方就是天国。
只要我们任何一个人的心中有主耶稣基督的生命，有主耶稣基督在掌权的话，那就是天国。
天国今日已经在人间开始，在人间。
天国现在已经在人世间开始。
是我们的心、我们的教会、我们的家庭、我们的婚姻里面。
就是在我们的心、我们的教会、我们的家庭和我们的婚姻当中。
任何一个地方，我们容许基督在那处掌王权。
任何一个地方，我们允许主耶稣基督在那里掌权的，
那个就是天国。
那个地方就是天国，
而且今日的天国，
而且是今天的天国，
只会继续的扩展，
只会无穷无尽的不断的扩展。
更多人归服在基督的王权之下，
更多的人不断的归服到主耶稣基督的王权之下，
容许他的生命变成基督所掌权的地方。
允许他自己的生命变为主耶稣基督掌权的地方。
第七节，我们一齐时间，我们等到第一次好快出第七节。
我们再看第七节。
他的政权和平安必无穷无尽地增加，他在大卫的宝座上治理他的国，以公平和公义使国建立稳固，从现在直到永远。所以你们愿不愿意将你的生命变成基督掌权的地方？
所以我们愿意把我们的生命变为主耶稣基督掌权的地方吗？
你愿不愿意将你的生命成为基督的国度、神的国度？
你愿不愿意把你的生命成为主耶稣基督和神的国度呢？
不需要你付任何的代价。
我们不需要付任何的代价。
我真的不想象得到现在人入美国籍，人家告诉你几多百元，六七百元。
现在入美国籍要六七百块钱。
哇，这个美国政府你说真是欠人债咁多，所以要快啲掘多啲翻嚟。
美国政府欠债太多，现在要拼命在人民的身上找钱。
几难入啊？
是非常的难。
而家佢哋话你考美国入籍啊，考试啊。
现在考美国的那个入籍的那个试。
考乜嘢？考美国宪法、美国啲历史最深嘅，边个人会识噶啦？
现在都是考一些在美国宪法和美国那个历史里面最难的一些问题。
你不相信你闹我，我三十几四十年前入籍的时候，
在牧师三四十年前入籍的时候，
那个考官问我你现在在哪里读书，我说我现在在哪里读书，
考官问他现在在哪里念书，
他说 OK， 我要规矩，我要考你，我要你写四个字，
那个考官就跟牧师说我要按规矩考一下你，你写四个字，
叫我写 I have a house，
希望牧师写我有一个房子，
没人信啊，在 Philadelphia I have a house，
没有人相信那个考官会给牧师这么简单一条题目，
给我讲好靓的美国公民那个 naturalization paper，
然后牧师就得到了那张公民的证书。
现在 I don't know， 入美国籍不是那么香，但是都那么贵。
但是现在入美国籍不是那么吃香，但是却这么贵这么难。
那你不快点入天国的国籍，
还不如赶快的进入天国的国籍，
不需要你付上任何的代价，
不
需要你打开你的心，
不需要我们付上任何的代价，只需要我们打开我们的心。
因为以赛亚说来来，
因为以赛亚说来
享受到，你没钱付的都不用白白的，你享受到
你们只要来就能白白的享受，
让你的生命敞开被基督在那处掌王权，
让我们的生命敞开敞开来享受主基督的，
被你开始享受到天国里面的祝福，
让我们开始享受到天国里面的祝福。
这个礼拜你多谢什么？
这个礼拜我们要感谢什么呢？
我相信你好多谢在美国里面都都挺好啊，这些
可能大家都会感谢现在的生活都还不错，
有得吃有得饱，
我们现在有的吃有的住，
屋都不错，
房子也还好，
但是四周围仍然好多幽暗围住，
但是实际上在周围我们还有很多幽暗的地方围绕我们。
鼓励你多谢
牧师鼓励我们要感谢，
多谢基督的降临，
感谢我们主耶稣基督的降临，
基督天国的已经开始在人世间，
感谢基督的天国已经开始在人间，
感谢天国的祝福我们已经开始品尝到，
感谢天国的祝福我们已经开始 品尝得到，
让我们期望什么，
然后我们会期望什么呢？
这个时代这段时间我们叫做 Advent， 等待基督降临，庆祝圣诞，
在圣诞前的这一段时间我们是作为一个等待的时候，
当然一个很兴奋的一个时间，是吧？
当然我们的心情都很兴奋，
12月24号我们有很好的庆祝 的聚会
在圣诞当天我们会有很好的一个庆祝的聚会，
我鼓励大家望远一点，等候远一点，
鼓励大家要向更远的时候去一个等待，
怎么说呢，胆长条颈去望基督他再回来
我们要伸长脖子去等待基督的再来临。
你人生最渴望得到的，
人生所最渴望得到的，
公正、太平、和平、公义，
公平、公正、和平，
会完完全全的在人世间里边。
当那时候就会完完全全的成全在人世间。
我哋个好好嘅诗歌，他的国度无穷嚟嚟回应基督必做万国君王咧，就起身嚟唱呢首诗歌。